So, Father, we love you and we thank you. It's such a gorgeous day. And to be able to spend the day with our family, those that we can trust, those that we worship with, those that hold us accountable, those that we edify and edify us. We lift you up. You are such a good God. In Yeshua's name, amen. Okay. How's everybody today? Good. Okay, my mouse isn't happy here. Here we go. So, first I want to thank the Lord. I got a job. Yay! And I really like it. It's been a fantastic week. I work with a bunch of really encouraging, welcoming people. Most of them are men. It's like they're everywhere. So today we're looking at Obadiah, which means servant of the Lord. And here we go. I actually read the entire book for this preparation. So please be impressed. So the prophets and prophecy in the ancient Near East were not unique to Israel. The ancient Near East prophets would address the king as opposed to the people. The ancient Near East prophets received messages through dreams, visions, and trances, and the prophecies generally concerned ritual activity, military matters, or building projects. Hebrew prophets wouldn't have thought of themselves as predicting the future, but simply engaging in proclaiming God's perspective and plan. They were champions of the covenant who called God's people back to faithfulness. And they spoke out about injustice and exploitation, especially of the poor. They proclaimed God's plan of salvation and their coming Savior. They reminded their audience of God's blessings and deliverance and their alliance with God, an alliance that relies on them being loyal to him. Even today, the Jewish perspective on prophecy is about revealing who God is and giving him glory when a foretold event happens. Prophet in Hebrew, as well as Greek, means a spokesman, an inspired speaker. Isn't it interesting that God calls Abraham a prophet in a biblical dream? I never thought of Abraham as a prophet, according to, you know, modern understanding. Yet considering what the word means, it actually makes a lot of sense. Moses is called a prophet also, even though he had a difficult time speaking. He was considered a spokesman for God. Well, let's get back to Obadiah. Obadiah's prophecy is addressing the kingdom of Eden, which are the descendants of Esau. Yet his audience is actually his own people. It's unlikely that many Edomites actually heard his prophecy. So Obadiah is indicting Edom for its crimes against Judah. Edom was a vassal state of Babylon and participated in the destruction of Jerusalem and the exile of its people. So let's read Obadiah. Which is going to take me a minute because I didn't pull it up. Thank you. If you guys want to read along, that would be awesome. Okay, so the vision of Obadiah. Thus says the Lord God concerning Edom, we have heard a report from the Lord, and a messenger has been sent among the nations, saying, arise, and let us rise up against her for battle. Behold, I will make you small among the nations, and you shall be greatly despised. The pride of your heart has deceived you, you who dwell in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, you who say in your heart, who will bring me down to the ground? Though you ascend as high as the eagle, and though you set your nest among the stars, from there I will bring you down, says the Lord. If thieves had come to you, if robbers by night, oh, how will you be cut off? Would they not have stolen till they had enough? If grape gatherers had come to you, would they not have left some gleanings? Oh, how Esau shall be searched out, how his hidden treasures shall be sought after. All the men in your confederacy shall force you to the border. The men at peace with you shall deceive you and prevail against you. And those who eat your bread shall lay a trap for you. No one is aware of it. Will I not in the day, says the Lord, even destroy the wise men of Edom and understanding from the mountains of Esau? Then your mighty men, O Teman, shall be dismayed. At the end, everyone from the mountains of Esau shall be cut off by slaughter. Verse 10, for violence against your brother Jacob, shame shall cover you, and you shall be cut off forever. In the day that you stood on the other side, in the day that strangers carried captive his forces, when foreigners entered his gates and cast lots for Jerusalem, even you were one of them. But you should not have gazed on the day of your brother in the day of his captivity, nor should you have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction, nor should you have spoken proudly in the day of their distress. You should not have entered the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Indeed, you should not have gazed on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor laid hands on their substance in their calamity. You should not have stood at the crossroads to cut off those among them who escaped, nor should you have delivered up those among them who remained in the day of distress. For the day of the Lord upon all the nations is near. As you have done, it shall be done to you. Your reprisal shall return upon your own head. As you drank my holy nation, so shall all the nations drink continually. Yes, they shall drink and swallow, and they shall be as though they had never been. But on Mount Zion there shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness. The house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. The house of Judah shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame. But the house of Esau shall be stubble. They shall kindle them and devour them, and no survivor shall remain of the house of Esau, for the Lord has spoken. The south shall possess the mountains of Esau, and the lowlands shall possess Philistia, and they shall possess the fields of Ephraim and the fields of Samaria. Benjamin shall possess Gilead, and the captives of this host of children of Israel shall possess the land of the Canaanites as far as Zarephath, and the captives of Jerusalem who are in Sephard shall possess the cities of the south. Their savior shall come to Mount Zion to judge the mountains of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. Hallelujah. I look forward to that day. In Obadiah 1:3, God reveals that Edom's pride of their heart has deceived them into believing they were unconquerable. Yet God proclaims that he will bring them down. You gotta wonder how the pride in our heart is deceiving us. It's a good, important question for us to ask. Not only ask ourselves, but ask the Father. This story actually reminds me of the Holocaust. Hitler convinced the German people that they were the perfect race. They were unconquerable. Hitler's propaganda led to intense pride among his people, so much so that they saw their cousins, neighbors, and friends that were of Jewish descent, as well as full Germans, they saw them as non-humans. That was a symptom of pride. They actually believed that they were the perfectly pure race and needed to exterminate fellow Germans who weren't 100% Aryan, because the pride in the heart deceived them. I watched a video the other day about women in the Third Reich. And I was kind of amazed at how many participated. There were 13 million women that served as Nazis. And even more were part of the Reich as a whole. of the small minority of German women who opposed Hitler, hundreds of thousands of them were forcibly sterilized. And tens of thousands were incarcerated in the camps. When I heard that, I just broke down. I had to just stop and weep to think that they cut off that life. This was German against German. Whether they were part Jewish or not, neighbors, cousins, and relatives stood by and watched or actively participated in the abuse and murder of their family and friends. Just like Edom participated in the assault on Judah, their cousins. It's interesting to see the parallels between Edom and Germany. So Edom caused violence against their cousins, and the Germans caused violence against their cousins. Edomites watched as Judah was carried off to Babylon. Germans watched fellow Germans be carried off to the camps. Edomites stood by when foreigners entered the gates of Jerusalem. The Germans stood by when Nazis entered the gates of their towns. Edomites cast lots for the spoils of Jerusalem. Germans received payment for turning in German Jews and dissenters. Edomites rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction. Nazi guards celebrated with music as they destroyed their prisoners. Edomites spoke proudly in the day of Judah's distress. German pride was at an all-time high during World War II, Judah's distress. Edomites gazed at Judah's affliction, and Germans knew what was happening in the camps. Edomites stole Judah's possessions, and the Germans stole their neighbor's riches. Edomites stood at the crossroads, cutting off those trying to escape, while Germans participated in the capture to those trying to flee the country. Edomites delivered up the Jews who remained, and Germans delivered up German Jews found hiding. God tells Edom they will reap what they sowed God tells Edom they will reap what they sowed. In the end, the house of Jacob and Joseph will burn the house of Esau's stubble, and no one will survive. Unrepentant Germans will be cast into the lake of fire, and no one will survive. Well, on the bright side. Obadiah 1:17, but on the Mount of Zion there shall be deliverance. Hallelujah. And there shall be holiness. The house of Jacob shall possess their own possessions. We must diligently and relentlessly search for the pride in our lives. We are not above this sin. We cannot allow ourselves to risk deception. We are the warriors of God. We are those establishing the kingdom of God upon the earth, in our communities and our families. We cannot allow Yahweh's light to be compromised. We have been chosen and called out of the ways of Babylon to serve a jealous king who is forgiving, redeeming, faithful, loving, kind, and gracious. A king who gave his only son to provide us a way to live with them eternally. We cannot shrink back. We must leap forward. We must reject mediocrity and strive for excellence. We must not accept the status quo. We must expect miracles and wonders. We must not grow weary, but encourage each other to continue running the race with creativity, boldness, and courage. We must support each other, especially in our weaknesses. We must look for ways to bless each other and the world. We must strengthen our relationships and trust each other. We must look for the brokenhearted and offer them life. We must inspire our children and our grandchildren and others through discipleship to hunger and thirst for righteousness instead of being enticed by the trappings of this world. When I was writing that, I could just hear Curtis, "Hallelujah, run on, bring it on." I'm like, "Oh, I hope he's going to be there." Actually, I wrote that with Curtis in mind in the hospital because I heard you were evangelizing, brother, every minute, every day. So 2 Corinthians 32:26. Then Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride in his heart, he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of the Lord did not come upon them in the days of Hezekiah. We now know how to escape the wrath of God in the coming days. Humble yourselves and get rid of our pride. Thank you.